Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We say it mostly once, give it to
everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. You know we are your guiltiest pleasure. Jeffrey Emmett is on vacation, and you know when mama's away, the kids gonna play. So stepping in for him is the ultra fabulous Mr. James E. You guys know him as Lips from Lips on the Air. Hey, James.
Hey, I'm glad you actually got the title of my show right this time. You didn't call it Jim Bob Lips on Air or any of that.
I like
Jeffrey
to say
does.
Lips on the Radio. I don't know why, because we're Uncensored Radio. I just think Lips on the Air. I'm thinking Lips on the Radio. It's a horrible thing,
like,
but
it's
true. I know, it could be both.
I like
it. Could go anyway.
Well, yeah, like, I thought Lips on the Air. I just thought it was, I thought it was a cute title. And
I think
kind
it's
of
a
like,
great title.
You know, on air with, like, it's like on air with Ryan Seacrest, but, you know, I wanted
right.
to, I had to put my nickname in there, and it just sounded better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when I'm trying to promote it, too, because I'll go, Lips on the Air is on the air.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like an oxymoron.
Don't pay attention to me. I think it's a great name. It's just, for whatever reason, I'm so used to saying Uncensored Radio, so radio stuck in my brain, and I'm thinking Lips on the Radio. And I'm like, that's not right. He's on the air. So,
it's okay though.
Yeah.
As long as you're not calling it Jim Bob Lips on Air or trying to turn it into the NASCAR Hour like Jeffrey Emmett, you know, we're good. Cool.
But it would be so much better for the NASCAR Hour. I'm just again, Jamesy, you must diversify. Country is big. I'm gonna start making you sing
okay.
country.
Okay. Well, you know what?
You
you're gonna start making me sing country western music. You know what? I sing that already.
Yeah.
So it's
oh,
not
good.
That big of a deal.
Good,
I sing
good,
everything. So
we'll put out a new album. You're doing the country hits. And I'm telling you, it'll go platinum. They all do. Those country music artists, boy, they got it going on. The rest of us are just trying to be
they
down.
They do. They do. So my thing is, I've never seen a real big gay country singer.
Well, there you go. There's
so,
a window. Window of opportunity. Window of opportunity.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I would get so much flack from, like, country music community. They'd be like, this homo needs to go. Stick to pop. That's
I don't
what, that's
know.
What
aren't they supposed
for.
To be all gospely, though, and loving? I don't know. Maybe be embraced.
And that's Katrina Johnson. She is in the house. Hey, Katrina.
Hello.
Hello. Here's the thing. Like, you know, you could be the first gay, outwardly gay, country and western singer, but I think after the whole Paula Deen thing, ain't nobody talking about nobody, because don't nobody want to lose nothing, because they done took it off.
Yeah.
I didn't even know
right.
that she had that many deals. Like, I was like, this woman, no wonder she's worth $60 million. I didn't realize.
Oh, well,
that,
did you know?
Like,
her book, like,
what?
Her new cookbook on Amazon.com is number one on Amazon.com. Like, it hasn't even been released yet, and it's number one in pre-order sales right now. And her publisher still decided not to publish it, to cancel the publication of it.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, to me, this
like,
is
like, you're
the
still
going to
make
think,
that money.
I think it's, right. I think it's hurting her, but I also think it's helping her. Like, I haven't heard her name this much ever. And it's like, bad publicity is good publicity.
Right.
So I really think that she'll turn everything around, you know. I just really think
right.
at the end of the day,
I agree.
It's all... She just needs to pull a, like, she needs to disappear for about a year, go live her life, enjoy, you know, enjoy herself, get it together, and then come back with a boom, you know?
Right. I agree.
So
I agree.
Think,
that's
Jay,
what she needs to do. She needs
I think
to
you'll be
off.
Loved and embraced. I think you'll be loved and embraced in the country world.
I think so, too.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, we'll
see. I'll record an album of country covers, and I'll put it all on my YouTube channel, and we'll see what our listeners think. Should I go country?
You'll probably get more views than any of the pop songs you have on there now.
Well, and the sad thing is, like, I have some videos up of me singing country songs. I have videos of me singing some country songs, and they have, you know, more views than some of my covers of pop songs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but usually the comments on all that night. So.
Right. So tomorrow, guys, it's 4th of July. Do we have any amazing 4th of July plans for tomorrow?
I don't. I'm going to be at work for 12 hours.
Mine?
But at least I'll be at a pool party.
Pool party. Katrina Johnson.
My 4th of July plans aren't until this weekend.
Right. Her thing, like, for any occasion, get married, pool party. Going to the zoo, pool party. 4th of July, pool party.
Lost the shot on the pool party. Right? You know, it's like Christmas, pool party.
Yeah, pretty much. That's kind of my given, yep.
Hey, I like it, though. You know, a pool party is always fun in December.
Yeah, you just have
if
to
have
make
place,
sure you're
in
a warm place.
Right. But yeah, my 4th of July plans, they're not happening until this weekend. I'm going down to my sister's on Saturday and going to have a barbecue down there. And that's really the extent of it.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Are you going to
They usually do like a really big fireworks show.
Fun. Don't get burned, okay? That's all we need. We don't need no Michael Jackson.
Oh, God, no. Well, my sister,
you know,
they have, like, 10 acres of land. Well, they have, like, 10 acres of land at my sister's house. So they go, and they have a pond in their yard. So they go on the other side of the pond, and they set up, like, $3,000 worth of fireworks. And they just set them off and do, like, this really nice, pretty fireworks show in their backyard. It's great. Like, that's what my sister and brother-in-law do every year.
You didn't tell your sister
you what?
You didn't tell us she was rich.
Okay. She's not rich, but my brother-in-law owns his own business. He's a tow truck driver, so he owns
mm-hmm.
his own towing business. And that's how he makes most of his money. But they are by far not rich. They only live like they are.
Me too.
Yeah.
I live like I'm rich, but I'm broke as a joke.
Right. It's funny,
it's
like, I love
life.
Going to my sister's. I love going down to my sister's house because it's like a vacation. Because they live, like, their house is by far, like, the nicest I've ever been in. It's
mm-hmm.
got, like, 5 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. They have a swimming pool above ground swimming pool. They've got a volleyball net. Like, they have a trampoline. Like, they've got all this stuff. And it's just, they have a hot tub, a tanning bed, like, It's like a resort. I don't consider it going
wow.
to babysit. I consider going to get away for the week, and I just have to take care of kids. Like,
it's like a spa. I'd be in the tanning bed the whole time.
Yeah, me too. Like a spouse, James. Like a spouse.
You know?
I tend to spend
like
most of the time in the tanning bed when I'm
there. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, I got burnt like a crisp last time I was there, but it wasn't from the tanning bed. It was from being out in the pool with my nephews. So.
All right.
That's cute. Are you bringing Chlorina?
Oh, I completely forgot Chlorina when I went down there.
Oh. You're terrible.
Damn, that is so
You're
sad.
You're a bad dad. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I am a bad parent. I am such
wow.
a bad parent.
I
am so sorry. I completely forgot.
I can't remember what I named my dolphin.
I'm surprised Katrina remembered it so well, just like right off the tongue, mine.
I know. Like,
it's
Jeffrey and Susie, they're like painting the town in Missouri. Like, they're like,
oh, yeah, it's awesome.
I know. All over the place.
I know.
I got to remember
it's
what
weird.
My dolphin's name is. I'm a horrible dolphin mom.
You're terrible. I think we have Sushi, tuna, sashimi, and corina.
Oh, well, you guys help me think of a name.
And Finny. So I think one of those is yours. With your sashimi.
And I love how Finny the dolphin just decided to go on a rampage on my Instagram and liked every one of my pictures.
Well, you know, he's horny and you can get it. What do you want me to say? I don't know. I didn't teach him that. He didn't get that from me.
Some of his comments are just talking about threesomes and all that other shit. It's just like, it's,
sound
wow.
like Katrina Johnson.
What? Yeah, well,
it does not sound like Katrina.
The dolphin doesn't fall far from the tree. But I didn't teach him that, I swear. He might have just been observing a little too much for me, but I didn't purposely teach him that. Mm-hmm. Just
some
so
of his comments sound just like something Katrina Johnson would say.
Well, I mean, it's my offspring, so obviously there's going to be some similarity. You know, he wasn't raised in a convent. Obviously, if it's my child, he's going to have some sort of semblance. I guess that's it. But he branched off
right.
on his own. He's way worse than I could ever be.
That's funny.
Right.
But I was flirting with one of our favorite rangers over Facebook today.
Ooh.
It was Steve. He was doing that squat challenge thing for like, you know, you do
yeah.
so many squats every day and he stay you up it. Well, he posted a video where I think he did like 250 squats. And so I'm like, yeah, sure, okay, that's, you know, a nice video and all, but like, do us a favor and, like, film the back next time. Turn the camera around. And so he actually responded to me, and he's like, okay, Kat, I will. I'll even throw in some twerking next time. And I'm like, yeah, finally, you know what your fans really want. And, like, his fans all liked it because they're like, yes, that is what we want.
See, oh, my
that,
God.
I'm going to get a text message going, Karen, get your friend.
I was trying to behave. I was trying to be good.
That is hilarious.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Only Katrina. Only Katrina would do that.
I could not imagine Steve Cardenas twerking. Like, I want to see that video.
I need to see that shit. That'd be great.
Me too.
It would be awesome.
Oh, man.
It would go viral.
He knows how to dance. He knows how to dance. I remember
TMZ
plenty of
would be
parties.
All over it.
Right. I remember plenty of parties where Steve and I would be burning up the dance floor. Like, he was not shy. Like, he dances. Really, everybody dances. But he will dance. Like, if we're at a club, he's going to dance. Jason Frank dances. David Yost actually can really dance.
Walter Jones.
Walter Jones can dance. I danced with him. We
Walter
did some salsa, and it was good. I got dipped.
He can dance, and then he can teach you how to dance, too.
Mm-hmm. Hello, mm-hmm. can you go, Walter? What's up?
Mm-hmm. He would love to teach Hello Kitty how to dance.
Yep.
That's
oh, my goodness.
Funny.
That is bad.
She's like so popular in the Power Ranger circuit. Like, everybody, when I see people always go, how's Katrina? How's Jeffrey? Like, they all know you guys. And now they're starting to get to know you, James, because you were at Lexington. And so they're like, how's James?
Aw, that's nice, though.
Yeah.
Well, and I was kind of mad because when I came back from Lexington, I didn't know that Kansas City does a convention, that they do a comic,
right.
Comic-Con convention. And I'm watching, like, I was just randomly on Walter Jones's Facebook page, and he said, thank you, Kansas City, you guys were awesome. And so I did some research into it, and I was like, what the fuck? Walter was in Kansas City, like, a weekend after Lexington? What? And I missed it? I was so mad. So now I'm working on trying to get you booked for the next year.
Yay, yeah. I was so mad I wasn't on that convention.
I would love it. I would love to have you guys, all of you guys, on my turf for a weekend. You know, just to be here. It would be nice. I think it'd be cool.
I would like that.
I would too. Hell,
but I'm mad. Yeah. Jeffrey's only like. Well, I'm mad because Jeffrey's only like 3 hours away, and I've yet to see him. Like, I've yet to have the time to go down there and hang out and spend time with him and him and Joe and all them and party it up at the lake. So. I'm mad. I'm a little mad about it.
You better figure it out. He's there for a week, so
get on it.
I know. He's here to next Sunday or something. But hopefully I'll figure it out and can get down there. But there's a lot going on.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I hope you do. I hope you can figure it out. But if not, you know, we shall meet again.
Yeah, we'll be around. You haven't seen the last of us.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know. I know.
So you
and I'm glad that I haven't seen the last of y'all.
I know, right? I know. You're stuck with this now, James. I don't know. You just really don't know what you signed up for.
Sorry.
Well, had I known a year ago that this, like, you know, I've been talking, and I'm going to be 25 this year, and I've been doing a lot of reflecting on my life, and... It's weird that I'm going to be 25 in less than, like, you know, 15 days or something like that. So that's a little strange. But I've been doing a lot of reflecting, and it's like I never would have imagined my life being where it's at right now, but also having the friends that I have and the opportunity that I've gotten to meet you and to meet Karen and to meet Jeffrey and just be a part of something that's definitely bigger than just myself. It's a very awesome feeling to have, and so I never would have imagined that I would have had this opportunity in my life to be doing the things that I'm doing with you guys and to now host my own show on Friday night. So it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you haven't listened to,
so I feel very blessed, and I'm thankful for all of you guys.
Yeah.
Aww. Thanks, Jamie. We love you.
We do. We love you.
We need you.
Right. Above and beyond anything else, you are very needed.
Yes.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I do. I really appreciate that. I'm needed. Aw.
Yeah, and I'll be a good daddy to your dolphin. She needs you, too.
Yeah. Vinny wants to help you.
Yeah. Well, she's sitting down on my entertainment center on top of my TV right now. So, and that's where she's been for quite a while.
Oh, that's good. She likes the view. It's good.
Mm.
What?
She does.
You are my little dolphins, and Katrina Johnson sent me the biggest dolphin known to me.
Well, yeah, because, you know, I figure you're the boss. The boss needs a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense. You know, big personality.
I have no idea what she said.
She didn't say anything.
I don't know what she said because she cut out.
I said big personality, big dolphin. I think she's agreeing and she's in awe. So she's just silent because she's in awe of our opinion. Yep, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That and she might have dropped at the same time, too.
Part of that, I get a lot of people asking on Facebook and Twitter if they can have my dolphin. They're like, can we have your dolphin? Can we have your dolphin? I'm like, no. And there are two dolphins. It's just that Finny is a fame whore, so he has his own Facebook and Twitter. And Blumel's
yeah,
really mm-hmm. nice, so she doesn't
he
make it out.
He's listed on the Uncensored Radio website as a host.
Oh no, that can't be good for business.
Yeah, he's got his own little page and everything. Like, Finny's a degenerate. Like, oh man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's famous. He's on a famous website. Owl.
Yeah, he's famous. He's a big deal. Just ask him; he'll tell you.
Mhm. I agree.
And speaking of the website, we will have. Hopefully soon we will have all of the dates that Miss Karen Ashley will be appearing at conventions so that you guys can check out all the dates and try and stop by and say hi.
I was supposed to send you that. Yes, you will. You'll have it very soon.
I try to find the parts in the show where I can remind you in the show, and then you can be like, oh, I forgot to send that to you. Okay.
That's just a way of calling me out. Yep, I got it.
It's my way.
I know. I deserve it. I have been slipping. I can tell you, though, that I will be in Houston, Texas, August, I believe. No, I
second
know this for a fact. August 2nd through the 4th, yes. And then New Orleans is the 23rd, the weekend of the 23rd. And then Atlanta is the first week, because I think it's September 1st. And it's that weekend. So those three for sure. And there are two others, but I haven't gotten confirmation dates. So soon to come.
Well, that's kind of awesome. That'll be fun.
All right.
Yeah, I'm excited. I can't wait. Can't wait. It's going to be a reunited, and it feels a good moment.
Yeah, I wish I could be reunited with your crew. They're delicious.
I'm excited for New Orleans. I've never been there before. So I'm excited for New Orleans.
Yes, New Orleans, baby. It's going to be great because they have
awesome.
They got beignets, and you just went to New Orleans, Katrina.
I was just there like 2-3 weeks ago, and it was amazing. And I caught an alligator, and I made some shoes and purse out of him, and it was great. I gained 6 pounds in 4 days because the food is so amazing. There's drinks everywhere, and they're cheap, and it's awesome.
Yep. There you go. We got a drink and eat and catch alligators.
Yeah, I can see the Uncensored crew getting in a lot of trouble there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we didn't get in a whole lot of trouble in Lexington.
We should probably...
We didn't do a whole lot in Lexington.
It's because I wasn't there. We should probably start an Indiegogo campaign now for bail money for New Orleans.
Right. This is the thing. Lexington didn't really have much to do. Like, the convention was the highlight of Lexington's place. Like... Everybody was like, they're like, where do you go? They're like, here. So there wasn't like...
And it was the same place. Like, everyone told us the same place to go to.
Yeah, New Orleans is different because at Bourbon Street, I mean, there's going to be a million bars, a million clubs. New Orleans is like a party town. So it's great for you to party.
And there's more strip clubs than I've ever seen. There's a million of them.
Right, tons of strip clubs. James, in case you were wondering.
Nice.
Make some good money out there, James.
No, I'm good. I'm good, thanks.
I'm just,
if my body is in check. Only if my body is in check. And then, honestly, I couldn't live in New Orleans. I could visit, but I couldn't live there.
Right, well, see, that's
what
I said.
Corrupt
you could go for the weekend, and you could just, like, work the pole for a weekend and then just take your cash and run.
That would be hilarious.
James,
have you ever been
to a strip
club?
Let me get my body in check first. No, I haven't. Never been to a strip club.
You've never been? Oh my gosh, how did I know that?
Katrina Dawson. You have got to meet us in New Orleans.
None of them.
I know.
None of them have ever. None of the strip clubs up here accommodate male of the homosexual fashion. So, if I want to go to strip club, I get to go watch girls. But why would I want to go see a girl get undressed?
Yeah,
no, you go to the strip club where the girls go and watch the men because all the men are gay there.
No,
yeah.
In Kansas City. In Kansas City, they will not let guys. They won't let guys go into strip clubs where there's men dancing. They won't let the guys go in. It's only women allowed.
Because really, I would want to go to an all-male strip club for that reason, because the thing is all the men are gay. Like, what if I'm going to go see some gay guys dancing in front of me? I'm really not into it.
It's got to suck for the dancers, because women don't tip. That's got to suck. How are they supposed to make money?
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, but you know what? I did get a lap dance from a stripper.
No, I've been to strip club, and let me tell you, all the large and in charge girls, ain't nothing wrong with y'all. I ain't dissing y'all. I ain't saying nothing, so don't write me no letters and don't send me no emails. But all those girls are, like, making it rain, and they got all the guys paid attention to them because they were like, oh, these are the girls making it rain. And all the skinny bitches in the club didn't get no love.
Well, yeah, because they're more entitled. Right? They're like, I'm hot. He's going to do it for me. No, bitch, he's dancing for dollars. If he wants your number, he can still get it.
Right, exactly. Because you're sitting over there mad because he's not paying attention to you.
Yep. That's funny.
Like, perfect. Yeah, they get the number and they get the dollars.
Yeah, they're smart.
Mm-hmm. But, okay, I'm not as innocent as I come across because for my 18th birthday, I went to a club out here, which is an 18-over club, and it's a dance club. There's no strippers, there's no poles or anything like that. I went with some friends from work, and while we were there, and this is actually a guy that I ended up sleeping with later on down the line, in the backseat of his car in the club parking lot. Shut up. But anyways, I was talking to one of my friends, and I went out on the dance floor and was talking to one of my friends, and she told me this guy was a stripper and he's really cute and just nice guy, whatever. And I go up to her and I'm like, you should totally tell him to give me a lap dance. And she's like, no, I'm not gonna do that, no, whatever. And I was like, I was joking when I went up to her and said it, because it was a joke. Like, I didn't expect it to actually happen. And so I go back to the table, and I'm sitting down, I'm drinking, you know, Sprite, because I was underage. And next thing I know, I'm watching her on the dance floor, and I see her make a beeline from the center of the dance floor to him. And she goes over to him, and she's like, you should totally give my friend a lap dance. And he looks up at me, and he points to the table, and she's like, yeah, he's right there. And he bolts to the table and gives me a lap dance, like, right there in the middle of this club.
Oh.
In a straight club. And just gave me a lap dance, like, right there. And I couldn't move for a good couple minutes because it was very hot lap dance.
Wow.
And then,
James,
and then my 19th birthday.
Oh, there's more.
And then my 19th birthday.
Okay.
And then my 19th birthday, him and I were talking.
25th birthday.
Whoa. Him and I were talking, and we wound up in the backseat of his car after the club closed. We were in the backseat of his car, and we did the dirty in the backseat of his car.
You fell in love with a stripper. Cardinal sin. Shame. What are you doing?
I did not fall in love with a stripper.
In the back of a car. What is this, the 50s?
It was a one-night stand that I will remember for the rest of my life because it was awesome. But
what kind
it was a
of
one-night
car
stand.
Was it?
No love was exchanged.
Uh-huh.
Love.
It was just a wham, bam, goodbye, and I never saw him again after that.
First there comes lap dances, and there comes children.
I have a question, Jamesy. When it is an affair in a car, what happens to the fluids?
Right.
And whose car? And
well,
what kind of car?
It was his car.
Uh-huh.
And
what
it was
kind
a
of
Mustang.
Car? Okay.
A Mustang.
Mustangs are small. That must have been difficult to maneuver.
Right, you got steel,
yes,
Jamesy.
It was cramped. It was
Jamesy
cramped. But, and it happened. I mean, the fluids went where they went. Like,
just everywhere. Wow. All right.
Like, I don't know how to explain it. It happened. I got out of the car, and I got in my car, and I went home. Like, that was it.
You didn't ask for his number. You didn't say, okay, so when am I going to see you again? None of that.
No, because I already had his number, but I basically said goodnight, and I got in my car, and I left, and I never talked to him again after that.
See, now here's what I don't understand. You said it was great.
And it wasn't.
And you said, what? You said you'll forever remember
it. And it wasn't because he didn't text. It wasn't because I didn't. It wasn't because he didn't call me. And it wasn't because I didn't call him. It was I didn't return his call.
Okay. So why didn't you? Because you said it was great and you'll always remember it.
Because shortly after that, I talked to some of his friends who I was friends with, and I worked with when I worked at Walmart. And when they found out about what happened and what him and I did, they then decided to tell me that he was a player and had been with such and such amount of people while he was in relationships. Hence why I didn't respond to his motives when he tried contacting me.
But this is the thing.
I think everybody's a player at some point in their life. But don't you think it takes the right person for them to go, okay, I'm not going to be a player anymore. At some point, you turn the corner. And that could have been you, James.
Could have been that corner. But instead, you just got turned.
Or it could have just been a situation where we just meet and we just have fun. And he becomes, like, a very good friend of mine and friend with benefits.
And your car gets really dirty.
But, okay, I was 19. He was, like, 23. That idea didn't appeal to me at that point.
But see, what appealed to you was having a relationship.
Also at that point, I wasn't the person that was sleeping around with people. Like, I wasn't just wham bam, I'm done with guys or anything like that. Like, that was really the first time I'd ever actually done anything like that, where it was spontaneous, it was random. And it was a one-night thing. Like, that was the first time I'd ever done it. So I hadn't really looked at it as, oh, I'm going to be with this guy. We're going to be in a relationship. We're going to do this, that, and the other thing, and we're going to be together. Like, I didn't look at it like that. I looked at it as, this is a one-time thing. We're going to wham, bam, and I'm going to be done, and then I'm going to move on.
Right.
So, and I was 19. I was young. I was stupid. And, you know, in hindsight, it could have turned into something, and we could have, you know, I could have been that turning point for him, and we could have been together and happy and lived in a house together, had a white picket fence, and adopted 4 Asian children and been happy and great. But
You didn't want an Asian
baby. I'm not
baby
ready for that.
When you're 19. Got it.
That, and even now, I don't want a relationship. I just want a date. I want to experience different things because I have lived a very sheltered life. I'm not out in the scene very much. When I am out in the scene, I'm with friends of mine who keep a close tab on me and make sure I don't do anything stupid. And while I appreciate those friends, I do want to make mistakes, and I do want to sleep with that guy that people say you shouldn't sleep with and have a one-night stand, and I do want to do things like that. But I feel that I'm 25, I'm going to be 25, and I feel like I'm just now getting my rebellion, and I don't like that I'm just now hitting my rebellion.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's okay. It's good because now you're actually old enough to do everything legally that you would have done when you were rebelling. So maybe there will be, fewer arrests this time. But I think hitting your rebellion later is better. I didn't hit mine until I was 20. I think it's better. I think you make better decisions when you're older.
Right. And I didn't want it like be, you know, like a rebellious 15, 16-year-old where I was just randomly sleeping with people and trying drugs and all that stuff. Because that's not what I don't see, like, rebellion for me is not going out and doing drugs and all that stuff. Rebellion for me is going out and doing things that I know in the back of my head I shouldn't do, but I'm doing them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
not
I know, like, going to a bar and meeting a guy, like, okay, a hookup that I did in the past, I hooked up with 2 different guys in the same day, and neither one of them knew about the other.
Dirty Birdie!
Inception! Every time, James, you're on this show.
I don't even think I've ever done that, James. You dirty birdie.
I've never done it either, James. So how was it? And how did it happen?
Awesome.
Start from the beginning.
Exciting.
Well, the first one, okay, and this is where I'm going to be called Mike J, because the first one was the guy that I was talking to online. The second one was
okay,
a friend
Mike J.
who I had known for a while, and him and I had never met in person, but we talked on like Facebook and stuff like that. And but the first guy was a friend of a friend who I met online. We were talking. He invited me over. I went over to his house. No expectation for anything to happen, and then it just kind of went there. And it was
and
okay.
And I accidentally put it in.
Basically, he accidentally put it in. And then I left his house to go hang out with my other friend, who ironically his name is James. Went to hang out with James, and them and I were talking, and we wound up in his bedroom, and wham, bam, 20 minutes later, we were going at it, and it was good.
I would like to film that porno. It would be James on James action.
It was good, too.
James
it was good. It was nice. I enjoyed
it. Or did you, like, the next morning go, you know what, I had a damn good day?
I had a damn good day. I didn't regret it. No regret ever came across my mind from that day.
Were you really sore, and did you go, damn it, Internet, not again?
Right. Good
no,
question.
Actually, I wasn't sore. I wasn't sore, and I didn't go, damn it, Internet strikes again. I woke up, I took a shower, and I was ready to start my day.
I just need to know if you shower in between. Did you shower in between the two, did you shower in between the two lovemaking sessions?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Wow. I'm telling you, every time James is co-hosting on the show, it's a confession session times 100.
Always.
Tonight we found out.
It's because I'm open. It's because I'm open. Ask me anything. I will be honest with you guys. Ask me anything you want to ask me. I will answer it honestly.
Have you ever had sex with a girl?
Yes.
Oh!
My friend Stephanie, New Year's Eve. No, it was my friend Stephanie, New Year's Eve, and we had Bacardi and tequila were contributing factors.
What?
And the entire time, I had to think about someone else.
My God. Oh, my God. Jane.
You could do porn, Jamesy. If you can think about something else and it works, you could do porn.
You got skills, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is skills.
Ask me another one. Ask me anything, anything at all. Ask me anything, and I will honestly give you the answer and a story to go with it if there is one.
Have you pulled a Jeffrey? Have you gone down on a girl and been grossed out?
No.
No,
no
to being
I have
grossed
not.
Out or no to doing it?
I would have been grossed out at the thought of doing it, and I've never done it.
Okay. This is a good confession session.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had fantasies about a ranger?
Have I ever had what? About what?
Have you ever had sexual fantasies about a ranger?
Yes.
I could say yes. I know he has.
Yes.
I could say yes.
And a few of them, one of them was with JDF. One of them was with Steve Cardenas, and another one was with
damn.
And another one was with a ranger that Miss Katrina was fooling around with, a green one.
Oh. So this is my thought. This is my thought. My thought is, were they all together at the same time in the fantasy?
No. No, it was like different fantasies over the course of my teenage years. But yeah. I've had fantasies about Rangers. And if any of them ever find out about any of these, I will kill both of you. I'm just saying. I put it out there.
You're announcing this on the radio. They all listen. They all listen to the show.
Well, I'm just saying, if I meet...
Because fans are going to, they're going to, like, the fans are going to tweet them and go, guess who fantasizes about you?
So all I'm saying is that if I go to a convention, if I go to a convention and they have beefed up their security when I walk up, we're going to have some issues.
James,
well,
you got to
tell you, Jamie.
You are on the radio.
Yeah, and we have archive listeners, kids. If you want to check us out, we're on iTunes, we're on the Stitcher app, and we're on our website. You can always go back and re-listen in case you forgot which Rangers Jamesy had fantasies about. It's there
what's
for you.
What's funny is he has not had fantasies. They're all, like, married, or they're all, like, you know, whatever, well, except the one that Katrina was friends with.
No, because here's the thing.
Funny one. He wants
here's
the
thing, and this is legit in my head. This is legit for me. I cannot fantasize, and this is legit. I cannot fantasize about guys that I actually have a chance with.
Oh, that's weird.
I have never been able to fantasize about guys that I would actually have a chance with.
Wow.
That says so much about you, James.
Well, can I just
I'm just saying.
They're all better than you would expect. I'd say they're all better than the fantasy, all the ones you named.
Okay. I would agree with that, probably. Possibly. But I think for me, the reason I can't fantasize about the ones that I would actually have a chance with is because my mind can't comprehend how good it would actually be.
Yeah, I feel you there, except that I've done it and it's good.
Oh my gosh! Wow.
So let's make this James Confession Hour, and Karen, ask me anything. I will be honest. Ask me anything on your mind.
Talk about fireworks. Talk about 4th of July. Now that's how you get the weekend started with a bang, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That is awesome.
And actually, this is. Something else.
Uh-huh.
I took a couple weeks ago, there was a quiz on Facebook, what Power Ranger are you? And I took the quiz, and when I answered the question, the ranger that I was selected to be was Aisha Campbell, the yellow Power Ranger.
That's funny.
And they were just like some of the most random questions.
I want to take that quiz and see if I become Aisha Campbell.
That's funny.
It was random.
You have to send me
that. But I remember taking one.
You need to take it.
I will. I will find it again on Facebook and send it to both of you. But yeah, like, it was random. I answered the questions. They were the most random questions I'd ever seen. And at the very end of it, it said, your results aren't, you're Aisha Campbell, the Yellow Ranger. And I was like, what the fuck? Seriously?
That is hilarious.
I mean,
awesome.
I know her. I know her. So it's kind of weird that I know you, and that according to a quiz, if I were a Power Ranger, I would be you.
I like it. I think that's
it's
great.
It's a little weird.
I want to take it and see if I'd actually be me.
I don't think so.
No, I'd probably be somebody.
You'd come out as the leader. You'd come out as Tommy. You'd be Tommy, because you're a leader. You're a strong, powerful individual.
Yeah, I agree.
You're way too bossy to be sweet little Aisha.
Yeah, but Jake is a hidden bossy.
That is funny. Well, this is the funny part. Like, I didn't realize, like, a few days ago, this past weekend, actually this past Sunday, I love the fans because they always remind me of things that I don't know because, you know, I don't know and I don't keep up with dates and I'm horrible, horrible, horrible. But they told me, like, they posted on there that it had been 18 years since the movie premiered last Sunday, which was June 30th. And I was like, oh, my God, this was the day that the Power Ranger movie came out. So the fans who posted that on my Facebook wall, thank you so much for reminding me. I, you know, that made me smile for sure.
And that it's been 18 years since you did Power Rangers.
18 freaking years. Like, I guess, you know, I was only two then, so yeah. That makes sense.
You were one powerful toddler.
Right, exactly. I was extra.
That's
I was extra
awesome.
Tall toddler.
Maybe one day you'll be old enough to drink.
Right, exactly. I was extra tall for a toddler, but now I'm extra short for an adult.
Oh wait, so are you saying that when we were in Lexington that you were underage drinking bourbon?
Yes, I was. Aaron Cahill is the reason that I broke the law in Lexington. I was merely a young scout, and she was giving me bourbon.
And that was the worst thing that we did the entire weekend.
Yes.
That the drinking age is lower there, that's all.
Right, exactly. She's
oh, yeah, that's right, in Lexington.
And we're planning another evening of shots and craziness.
Oh, my gosh.
I
wanted
know,
to be there with
I
a
know.
Video camera so I can actually show the fans what you're like on bourbon. Because there were no cameras allowed in the Power Ranger After Dark panel. So,
I know.
No one will ever see the video of Miss Ashley on bourbon. It was kind of funny.
I thought it
kinda
was
kind of awesome.
I'm the same way that I am now. I'm just, like, a lot more chatty.
Your pupils were a little dilated, honey.
I know they were. I had three
and,
shots
and
on an empty
you kept
stomach.
Saying something about it being so warm. I remember you also
it
saying that
so
you were,
hot.
Like, really hot.
I was. I thought
too.
I was going to sweat my weave out.
Well, don't do that. Maybe this is a bad
I know.
Idea.
It was like, you know, a straight bourbon. Cat, it was straight bourbon. So, like, that's like a grown folk drink.
Wrong.
I was, like, sweating. I was so hot. My chest was on fire. I was like, oh, my God. And I hadn't eaten. So I was, like, it was crazy. I'd eaten that day, but it was, like, way earlier that day. So it was a mess.
It wasn't way earlier. We had only had dinner, like, 2 hours before that.
No. It was so much earlier than that. Because remember,
yes.
I was, like, no, it was late. Like that thing was like a late, like after dark. It was like totally late that night.
It was like 9 o'clock when we went for that panel, and we went and had dinner at like 6:30.
Well, the panel didn't end till like 10:30, 11.
No, the panel ended at 10, and then we went to the VIP party. I got the VIP party for a little bit, then went inside at the restaurant, the bar, with Kat Sutherland and I believe Jason Narvi and Theotis Crane from Walking Dead for like 2 hours. And I remember getting back to my hotel at midnight. It's the bourbon. See, you don't remember. You
well,
were too drunk.
Well, there you have it, Ms. Ashley.
I think you were drunk, James. I think you were
drunk. I blame it on
alcohol. I do. I blame it all on the alcohol. He's a liar.
I don't know. I have to say, one thing
I am not.
That's funny.
What?
No, it was a fun night. Like, I have to admit, that was probably the best, that was like the best convention, or at least the best panel I'd ever been to. Because everybody got drunk. And everybody was like cracking up. Like, it was really funny. The things people talk about when there are no cameras, and you know, it's like, it's great because you don't want to see it on YouTube. Like, you know, kids are like looking up to you, and you don't want to see it on YouTube. And it's like, we can't really have a private conversation. And that panel was awesome.
Yeah. I do remember, like, when I took the quarter up to Jason Narvi so he could measure.
Right, because we were like, how many quarters? We did. We're not supposed to talk about what happened at that convention. It's supposed to be after dark. You're not supposed to mention what happened.
Whoopsie. Well, you already mentioned it when Aaron Cahill was on the show. So okay. I'm just saying.
You know what's funny?
You already mentioned it when Aaron was here.
Right, but you know what's funny is he thought when we said how many quarters, he didn't realize that you have to line them up. He thought you'd stand them up.
Oh, God.
Like, none of them understood. They were like, what? Quarters? What? What? And I was like, quarters. And we had to, like, demonstrate. It was
yeah.
hilarious. It was hilarious.
That was funny. That was
I
miss
all
the good stuff. Was a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Yes, it was great. Yeah, and so Katrina Johnson, we got to get you to New Orleans because Jamesy will be in New Orleans, and it'll be just as fun, but we got to get you there.
And when are the dates for New Orleans?
It's like the 23rd, and it's the 23rd of August. We've got time.
But let me look at the calendar. It would be the 23rd to the 25th if it starts on a Friday.
Yes.
I mean,
and I think it's a three-day convention.
Sounds doable.
Yeah, we can get you in on the Thursday, and then, you know, we'll all hang until the Sunday or whatever.
I'm down. I love New Orleans.
It'll be fun.
I think that would be great.
Yeah.
Hopefully this time we're all staying at the same hotel.
Right.
Yep,
well, you know what?
Kind of important.
I wish we could stay at the same hotel. Actually, the people in New Orleans have been getting in touch with me to try to get everything squared away, and they're already sold out in the hotel.
Oh, what the hell?
Wow.
I know. Like, they sold out. Like, they were like, oh, that weekend sold out almost a year ago. And I'm like, what? Like, yeah. So, the thing about New Orleans is it might be kind of good if we have you guys at a different hotel because then we can venture out all around.
Yeah.
Well, I want to stay where the Rangers stay, so in case I accidentally get drunk and wander in the same room, they're not safe and I am.
Right.
No, Trina, here, you and
funny.
I, you and I will just get a room together somewhere at, like, a different hotel, and we will, our mission will be to get the other Rangers drunk to make some stuff happen so that we don't actually end up having to stay at our hotel.
I like that a lot.
Right. We won't even book you rooms. That'll be the mission. The minute you guys get there, mission, get a place to sleep.
That's funny. Well, you know, when you guys were in Lexington, one of the Power Rangers that wasn't with you thought that I was there and was calling me to make sure that I was behaving.
Ah!
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
That
what are you doing?
Hilarious.
You're not stalking other Green Rangers, are you? Where are you? Who are you hanging out with? What's going on? Don't drink.
Oh, my God. That's funny. That's hilarious.
That is funny.
I'm like, oh, you love me.
That's
trying
so
to
funny.
Check your investment.
That is so freaking funny.
But I didn't answer the phone. I just let him leave voicemails because I was enjoying it.
Right, just keep him guessing.
I sure as heck did not say that I didn't go.
That's so hilarious. That is hilarious. Oh,
right.
My God.
But if he were the true stalker ranger that he is, he would have probably, okay, he would have been on your Instagram and on your Facebook and noticed that you weren't updating or sending pictures or anything from the convention.
He's not
that good of a stalker.
I was mad at him, so I blocked him from everything, so he couldn't.
Oh.
He was
okay.
Unable to see because I was mad at him. It was kind of great.
That is funny. I love it.
Finest.
I absolutely love it.
Well, and
oh my God,
Ms. Ashley, will you be at will you be at Lexicon next year?
Yes, I actually am going to be there next year.
Okay, so then we can work on we can actually make a plan to get in some trouble in Lexington this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah,
we can do
it'll be great.
We can do some research and find out all the hot spots in Lexington because, you know, there's so many.
Right? There's so many hot spots in Lexington.
I mean, everyone was telling us to go to the same restaurant for dinner.
I know, like, we kept going, what's good around here? And they were all like, this restaurant, and then we realized it's the restaurant we'd already went to. And we're like, oh, thanks.
That's how you got? Okay.
That is too funny.
But yeah, we're going to find some trouble to get into.
The difference between, like, you know, the other places that we're going to, it's going to be better because they're actually, like, really fun party cities. Like, it's going to be, like, you know, you're not going to, like, Lexington, everything was going on at the hotel. We're not going to want to be in the hotel. We're going to be trying to get out of that place just so we can go kick it.
Yep.
Right.
No?
So it'll be interesting. It's going to be awesome.
Exactly. It'll be fabulous. Fabulous. I can't wait.
What happens in the bayou stays in the bayou.
Exactly.
Unless Finny puts it on Instagram.
Oh, damn it. You need to leave Finny at home. Finny can't come to this trip.
Oh.
It's going to be like one of those situations where it's like, we can't be having no spoiler alerts.
You're right. Plus, he's not to be trusted, you know. Finny's the one that got Prince Harry busted in Vegas.
Oh, man. Hater. He's a conspirator.
Oh, yeah. He's bad news.
Wow.
He'll sell out any story for any amount of money.
That's funny.
As long as there's no drunk pictures on Facebook of me and him making out, I'll be okay.
Oh, you know, he's going to attack you when you're sweating.
Oh, yeah. He roofies people. You're not even going to have a chance. You're not going to know what hits you. You should see what he's done to some of the other Raiders that are on his Facebook.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need my mom asking me, you know, what's up with this new seafood diet that you've been on? You know, I don't need those questions.
Your mom needs to not be your Facebook friend. How about that?
Yeah, that's terrible.
How about that? She does not need to be your Instagram friend. You're about to be 25. Mama got to be blocked.
Yeah,
yeah,
don't
you know what? If my mom doesn't see it, my sister's going to see it, my niece is going to see it, someone's going to see it, and it's going to get back to my mom. So you know what? It happens.
Dang, have I taught you nothing? You need a separate Facebook that's family friendly.
Right. You know, you have like eight Facebook pages. So do I.
I have like eight Facebooks, and one of them is the one that is family friendly.
Mm-hmm. That's the one where she posts pictures of her daddy and her and her dad go to church.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Okay.
That's how you do it.
Well, maybe I need to see this family-friendly Facebook so I can make one that emulates it.
Right.
Exactly.
It's actually very easy. You just set it all up and only accept your family.
And you only put real stuff on there. You pretty much omit your entire life. You can talk about, like, work and studying and, like, politics, and that's it.
That's right.
I would never put anything on Facebook because none of my – that would be, like, my blank Facebook page because I don't talk about my life as it is on Facebook.
Well, because, like, you could put your songs on there and stuff.
Right. You talk about your goals and aspirations. You talk about – you know, all those things.
All that crap.
So basically, I'm getting a lesson in deception. That's what I'm getting right now.
Omission, not deception. Omission. There's a difference.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Well, you know what, guys? We're at the end of the show. Have a happy 4th of July, everyone. If you haven't already liked our Facebook page, Katrina Johnson, where can they find us online?
www.facebook.com/uncensoredradio.
What about Twitter?
Uh-huh.
Twitter is @uncensoredradio. You can check out our website, which is www.myuncensoredradio.com.
Yay! Happy 4th, guys! Be careful! Good night, guys.
Don't get in trouble, but not with the law.
Welcome to another week of Title Pending. I am your host, Ethan Randall. Got a lot to get to on the docket. Been a busy day in the world. Got to talk a little bit about Aaron Hernandez, superstar tight end for the New England Patriots, who has been suspended. Well, I guess this is the ultimate suspension. Going to jail for a murder case. First player in the NFL to get busted for murder in about 10 years. Pretty crazy right there. We also want to talk a little about Paula Deen and her issues with the law and her racial tones that she used to describe one of her workers. Also going to talk a little bit about Bill Burr. One of my buddies went to see him this weekend, wanted to see how the show went. Talk a little bit about the internship, as well as, I believe this is the end he went and saw. And should be a great show. A lot on the docket for you guys. If you'd like to call in at any point, the number is 323-417-6705. Gang, getting a little bit late in today, so you're going to have to listen to my voice for the next 5 to 10 minutes. And we got James right here right now. James is going to be with us for a short time. James, what's going on in your life?
Oh, not much. Just living life, trying to anyway.
I see you're very busy with Uncensored Radio. Now that we got the time, I know I had you on in the past, and I know I'm only going to have you for a short time tonight, but why don't you tell people a little bit about your show? I want to grab some of my listeners and grab into your show because you're a real interesting guy. I friend you on Facebook, follow you on Twitter, and you always have something awesome to say. So tell me a little bit about your show.
Well, thank you, first of all. Thank you for that. What's on the Air is basically it's an opinionated show. We talk about a range of different topics. It's me and my cousin Jeannie and my friend Jasmine, they're my co-hosts. And we talk about really anything under the sun. We talk about latest news. We gossip a lot. But we try to keep it more lighthearted than dramatic, I guess, would be a good word for it. We just try to make it fun and try and give our own opinions on what's going on in the world and making it fun as opposed to being all serious all the time.
And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you've been following this, and I wasn't really that interested until one of my buddies was very passionately against her and talked about his disdain for her. But have you followed the Paula Deen story at all?
I followed it a little bit. I kind of heard about it on TMZ, but I haven't really been following it much. I've heard a lot, I've read a little bit recently about it, but I don't think that, she deserves blame for saying the word that she did and for treating people the way that she did, but I don't think that she deserved to necessarily get fired from Food Network and to basically lose the business that she's worked really hard to keep and maintain and keep up. I don't think she should have, because she made one mistake and, you know, whatever, I don't think she should have lost all of that. I mean, her being the spokesman for different companies, like, I can understand them pulling out because of the comment that she made, but, you know, she's a popular person. She's a popular show on Food Network. You know, I don't think that it would be, I don't really think it's worth them firing her completely for it. I think, you know, they could tell her to make a public apology or just something that could, I guess, kind of rectify the situation as opposed to just completely cutting everything off.
No, I completely agree with what you're saying. And what happens with advertisements a lot is they play to an ultra-conservative crowd and they don't want to alienate anyone. So if you say just the most, even if something's lighthearted, you say the least controversial thing, they're going to drop you because they don't want you associated with their brand. And in her case, trust me, it's tough to defend someone like that. I know in the court, she had been there because she had fired several people who I believe were of African-American descent, and they had claimed that she was racist. And in the court, somebody asked her, said, have you ever used the N-word? And she said yes, which I could understand if she just said yes, and I would never admit it if I did, but she said yes, of course, and kind of said it like in a matter-of-factly, very insensitive manner. It's like everyone says it all the time, of course I say that. But when they asked her why she had said that, I guess an African-American had put a gun to her head, and when she went home to describe the incident to her husband, she had used the N-word. Now, if that were to happen to me and I were to say that, I mean, hopefully that never, ever happens to me, I wouldn't admit that to a court of law. I mean, she had said it in privacy to her husband. Now, that doesn't mean it's okay to say, but it's not like she said it to a worker who wasn't obeying her orders.
Right. I agree with that. I think, I mean, being privacy of your own home is I don't think that should be held against you because it's your home. It's an extension of who you are. It's your private place where you can go and be yourself and be open. And honestly, I mean, there's bigotry in the world. There's racism. There's so many people get criticized so many different ways that, you know, I think with her being at home and her saying it to her husband, you know, and also you got to look at how old she is and the time period that she grew up in and where she's from and what it was like for her growing up. I mean, think about it. Her growing up, that was probably a word that was used quite a bit in her home to describe that race. So, I mean, I can't say that I'm not going to support her because I like Paula Deen, but I think it was uncalled for. I think it was rude. I never personally used that word. I know people that do, and I, you know, teach his own, you can say whatever you want, but I just, I'm on the fence about it because she is an influential person, and I can understand the decision to pull, you know, for advertisers to pull away from her because of what she said and because of what she, I guess, stands for at this point, but to completely cut her off from entertainment in a way is, I just think that was a little too much.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you in the fence. Like, I'm not really comfortable with that word. I mean, if I were to ever say it, which not a thing I ever have, I would never say it at somebody. I might, like, for example, I think if you're repeating it and say, this is what so-and-so called someone, they use the N-word, I think that's okay because you're not actually saying. But if you go up to someone who's black and say it, that's just uncalled for. And she was just so free about it. And to say that in front of a national audience that she's kind of comfortable with the word, that's what kind of makes me uncomfortable because I would never say that I would use that in front of a national audience. That's very uncomfortable. And she just did it so free, like there's nothing wrong with it. But you have a good point that she's a product of her environment. Does that make it okay to use that kind of language? I don't know. But I was born in the North with a very tolerant family who would not be okay with me using that word towards someone else. So I speak from a different background than Paula Deen. Ben Jackson joining us on the show tonight. Better late than never. Big Ben, always my go-to guy for the show. Ben, we're talking a little about the Paula Deen story. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not, actually.
Yet you are?
Hello?
Ben, are you there with us?
Yeah, sorry, dude. I don't know what happened. I'm not familiar with the Paula Deen story, though.
Okay, we're only going to talk a brief moment about this. I wanted to get James' opinion, because I always love to hear what James has to say. But pretty much, Paula Deen is a famous chef. I don't know if you want to call her. Pretty big in the food industry. And she had fired several black workers at her restaurant and had a lawsuit against her for racial discrimination. And one of the questions in court was, have you ever used the N-word? And she said, yes, of course. So there's this big stir. She's getting all her endorsements off. She got fired from her show. She is called a blatant racist. Now, I don't think it was really a fair question, but I don't think she could have answered it. And she answered that so poorly, by saying yes, of course, is such a matter-of-fact way. Now, do you think that was a fair question from the lawyer to ask her that?
Absolutely not. And that had to be part of like a cross-examination, I'm assuming, right?
I'm not really familiar with. You should be the guy I'm asking. You are eventually going to go to law school. So you're familiar with that stuff.
Well,
I have no idea.
Well,
it's just something I've been reading over Twitter. People have just been actually killing the woman. And I don't think she was right by any means, but I also don't think she deserves all this criticism.
No, absolutely not. What I meant by the cross-examination is I'm sure there had to be a bunch of black people who were bringing this lawsuit against her. Is that correct?
It was several African-American workers who had been fired from her previously. So to answer your question, yes.
So it was their lawyer who was asking them, have you ever used the N-word before?
Yes, that would be my guess. It would not be her lawyer, yes.
Right, yeah, I mean, that would almost, you know, it's Barry Zucker going from Arrested Development. But anyway, it's kind of on a tangent. But no, that's a totally unfair question because, like, you can say the word in, well, I mean, I guess when you think about it, it's really not an appropriate time to ever say the word, but I kind of called in right in the caught the tail end of what you were saying. Like, if you're repeating it or you know, and, like, not for nothing, but if you're I don't know,
you've got
to be careful what I say here.
What about this? I've seen this happen before, and I'm not sure it ever had those consequences, but it kind of made me uncomfortable when I see someone to copy and paste one of their favorite Lil Wayne songs or Drake songs, and it had the N-word in it on a tweet or a Facebook post. Is that okay?
I think so, as long as, like, you know, it sounds like cliche and technical. But if you're not putting the hard ER on it, it's not really meant to be an offensive thing. Like, you know, with the A on the end, like, that's become more of a thing. You know, and obviously I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but that's become thing, like a man or a dude or something. And if you're quoting a song and you got to take it in context. You just can't use the N-word in the wrong context, really, in my opinion.
And I think you're very right with that. And, I mean, obviously, that's a word that doesn't offend us, so maybe we really don't hold a lot of credit when we say that. But, I mean, I've played basketball with a lot of good black friends, and I brought this up to them because I knew I'd be talking about Paula Deen. I said, hey, when we were in school, in like, maybe 9th, 10th grade, and we were reading, like, Uncle Tom's Cabin or one of those books that was very old-fashioned, and someone read it out loud, and they read the N-word. I said, did that offend you? And he said, absolutely not. He said, if you just went up to me and called me that, I would not be happy about that, and I think that's offensive. But if you're reading the book, that's not your fault. I mean, that's the way it's written. I can't really criticize you for that, and I thought that was an awesome point that he brought up. But I watched another video of her. One of my buddies posted, and he's just absolutely disgusted by her. He's very liberal. And in the video, she had talked about how her great-grandfather was a plantation owner, and once the slaves were all freed, he pretty much lost all his business. And she said it was a terrific experience. Now, there was some ambiguity there. I wasn't sure if she meant terrific as in it's great that we don't have an enslaved society anymore and we're pushing towards equality, or it's terrific and it was a great change for him and he couldn't adapt to it. And then when she was saying this press conference, they had a black screen in back, and one of her black friends had came over. And she said, oh, you need to smile, I can't see you. Now, everyone had said this was extremely racist, but I said, you know, that was kind of one of her friends, and she was joking, and he was able to laugh about it. So she kind of gets a pass there for me. I think we're grasping at straws there. But where I don't think we're grasping at straws, and I think she really screwed up, and I was actually not okay with it. I thought that was really fucked up. She's talking about her brother's wedding, and she wanted a plantation-style wedding. And she said we can even have insert N-word as people waiting on us the whole time. So once I read that, that's when the shift kind of turned and I kind of lost a little respect for her. But when you listen to her speak, she just kind of sounds like a grandmother who hasn't really changed at the times and is very insensitive to it. Now, James, I'll give you that. I know you weren't extremely familiar with the story. Hearing everything I just said, has your opinion swayed or are you still kind of on the fence?
I would say I'm still on the fence about it just because, I mean, I look at it as she's a product of her environment. It's a word that she heard. It's probably a word that she heard her entire life growing up, and it was more likely used to describe, you know, that race in that way. So to her, it probably comes across that it shouldn't be an issue for her to say that word. You know, she probably looks at it like. That's how she's always been. That's how she's always going to be. Why should she, you know, if she didn't find it offensive as growing up, so why should it be offensive now?
I think that's an excellent point. And I don't mean to kiss your ass, but I think when we understand this, we're taking this from the context of people born in the 1990s and late 80s who are very tolerant and who are not okay when we don't accept others. For example, I don't know anyone under 25 except very hardcore Republicans who are against gay marriage. I mean, everyone I know is support it, because we all have homosexual friends, and it's not a big deal to us. But to her, that's a big deal. And, I mean, James, you could speak on this issue directly. I mean, maybe you do see some discrimination, but I think we're a much more tolerant nation now than when we were 40 years ago.
I agree. I think we're definitely much more tolerant now of race and skin color and sexual orientation and all that. I think we're definitely more accepting of it. But there's some people that, you know, granted we're more accepting of it, it's still out there. There's still racism. There's still bigotry. It just became legal today that DOMA was overturned by the federal government. You know, so that gay couples can actually have the same rights as a straight couple that are legally married. But, I grew up in Missouri and I grew up in a family that you're definitely a product of how you were raised and a product of your environment. And, you know, my grandparents had, you know, they knew a lot of black people. I never really knew them to know gay people. So in my family, you know, your race wasn't really an issue. We judged you by your character. We judged you by who you were. We didn't judge you by your skin color. And that's how I've been raised. But they were more or less against, you know, the gay and the alternative lifestyle as opposed to race. So I'm a very liberal person. I'm very open to anything and everything. I think what she did was wrong, but I can't fault her for it because you have to look at how she was raised. I mean, I can fault her for it because she shouldn't have openly admitted to it the way that she did. And she shouldn't have, it shouldn't be such an easy word to say and it just roll off your tongue and it just comes so clearly. But at the same time, I can't judge her because it's how she was raised.
One last question for you, and then you're obviously welcome to join the show. If not, I mean, I know you're a busy man. This is totally on you. Do you think the question they asked her was fair? Well, when the cross-examination, they said, okay. No, I'll let you expand. But the thing is, before I let you expand, sorry for interrupting you all the time, they should have actually, this is going to sound stupid, they should have actually used the word, because it kind of sounds like an 8-year-old when they say, have you ever used the N-word? Like, I mean, if I'm her, I would have been a smart ass and say, what N-word? There's a lot of N-words out there. But keep going. Right. You did not think it was fair. Could you stand on that?
I don't think it's fair to ask you to ask somebody what they do in the privacy of their own home. You know, I mean, if she was on trial for something and it was like, are you a pedophile? Did you rape innocent children in your home? Then that's a little different. But when you're asking something like, do you say this word at home? Do you say this word to your husband? Do you have conversations like this, like that at home? It's like, it's an invasion of privacy because you're one, trying to target somebody, and you're trying to get them to say something that you want them to say, but it doesn't feel fair to me because what you do in the privacy of your own home, that's for you to decide. That's for you to know, and you know the people you're around to know. It shouldn't be open for a debate or open for questions because it's your home. It's what you do behind the closed doors of your house. Like, so I do feel that she was unfairly asked that question, and if I were her, I probably wouldn't have answered it.
No, I would have been a smart ass about it too. I think she's kind of dumb for answering it so freely and saying yes, of course. I cannot think of a worse answer than what she's saying yes, of course. But Ben, with everything you know, what's your total opinion? Does she deserve a lot of the criticism she's getting, or do you think we're just kind of looking for a news story and we just ganged up on her looking to sensationalize this one?
Well, you know, if she fired those people because they're black, then she deserves all of it. And, you know, that's going to be hard because, honestly, we're never really going to know if she fired these people just because they're black or if they screwed up. And to tell you the truth, her admitting to saying the N-word to me has nothing to do with that. Now, if the question had been more pointed and said, have you ever used the N-word in the work environment or verbally attacked an African-American using the N-word, well, then, yeah, and that would be, you know, blasphemous and everything like that. But, you know, if everyone's being honest and, you know, you're in court, you're under oath, have you ever said the N-word? And you, both of you guys are right. You probably shouldn't answer the question. Your lawyers probably should have interjected and stopped that from happening. But I think what James was saying, like, the stuff about privacy in your own home and everything, and that hit the nail on the head for me, because if you use the N-word, it doesn't mean you're a racist. Even if you use it to tell racist jokes, that doesn't mean you're a racist, unless you truly believe the stereotypes that the jokes perpetuate. And I'm not saying that it's cool to go around telling racist jokes and everything, but, you know, like, some of those jokes are funny not because you're picking on a race and degrading them, but because the stereotypes that they depict are so stupid, it's funny to laugh at. And, like, you know, I know that I've laughed at plenty of those jokes, and I'm not a racist. I don't believe, you know, the jokes are something to laugh at, in my opinion. Something to laugh and say, wow, how silly that people actually believe this. It's not to be taken seriously or anything. And so that's my opinion. If she wants to use the N-word and not, there's ways to use the N-word and not be offensive, in my opinion. And she just, I think, was too honest in that situation. And once the media gets a hold of something like that, they can spin it however way they want to. And so then that's how shit goes south. So I don't know. If she truly is a racist and she, you know, and she fights through because they're black, then of course she deserves all the criticism. But I don't think we're ever going to truly know, get to the bottom of that. You know what I mean?
Well, she's not the first person to be a racist manager and fire someone because of their race. She just happens to be a celebrity who is not very careful with her words in the public. But you brought something interesting. Just because you tell a joke doesn't mean you're a racist. And I think we can extend that to being homophobic, too. Topher, who's got a show on Uncensored Radio, Topher's awesome, love Topher. I've talked to him about, like, homosexual jokes. He's right on this one. I asked him, you think no homo is offensive? And he said, absolutely, because the punchline of that is homo and, like, how it's just kind of making fun of the fact that anyone would be a homo. But I made the argument with him with a lot of these jokes. I think they're so ludicrous and so stupid. It's more making fun of the fact of how ridiculous the stereotype is than the actual perception. Now, I can't speak to a lot of the part of, like, African or black jokes or gay jokes or Mexican jokes or Chinese jokes. I can't speak for those who it offends or not, because I am not of that ethnicity, and I think it kind of comes across as unsensitive or insensitive. If I were to call up, if I were to say a homosexual joke and say, James, you can't be offended. That's not a big deal. But we do have a caller. Let me, it's Topher, the man of the hour. Topher, what's going on?
How's it going?
Okay, Topher, I actually was just talking about you, but Paula Deen's story, what's your take on it?
Okay, so the Paula Deen story, all right, so I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I hate her food, I hate her restaurant, I hate her son, I hate everything about her, but I honestly feel that, you know, if she said it in the past, this woman's probably about 75 years old anyway, it's kind of, if she said it in the past, you kind of have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. It's ridiculous, it's stupid, she's ignorant for even wanting to use the term, but honestly, I mean, you kind of have to expect that from people of that era, of that age. Do I feel it's necessary for her to lose her job with Food Network? Absolutely. Do I feel like she should lose all of her jobs? Probably not. I don't know. What were your guys' thoughts? I missed out on a chunk of the conversation. I'm sorry.
We all kind of agreed with you, and we were all kind of on the fence about it. The way that she said it so freely kind of caused some concern. We thought that it was kind of an unfair question. You ever used the N-word? Because Ben said it perfectly. He said, you should have rephrased it. Have you ever used the N-word at the workplace or directed at someone? I mean, she could have been quoting a rap song, and that could have qualified using the N-word. Where I do think she really screwed up, though, when she was talking about her brother's wedding, and this was more of a Southern-style thing, but it just shows how naive she is at the time. She said, we want a plantation party. We can have those, insert N-word, serving us all the food. That that's a tough sell to come across as not a racist. But actually, I was just talking about you, and I, because Ben had said how a lot of times you can tell a black joke doesn't make him a racist, and I said how, you know, you could tell a gay joke and doesn't make you a homophobic person, and I used your example as no homo, how that actually is offensive because homo is the actual punchline. But I think there's a lot of gay and racist jokes out there that are more making fun of how ridiculous the stereotype is than actually making fun of the offending party. Now, would you agree with that, or do you disagree with that?
I totally agree with that. I think if you use the word the F word, I don't know if you guys like to say it on your show, but if you use the F word,
you're free to use it. I'm not gonna. You can use it.
Okay. If you're not a gay man, and I'm just gonna say, if you're not a gay man and you use the word faggot, there's something amiss here. You're not connecting to something. I think it took me a while to figure out what the whole politically correct thing. I was a little bit upset with, you know, when you have little people, they like to be called little people. They don't like to be called midgets. When you have people who have mental retardation, they don't like to be called mentally retarded. They like to be called mentally disabled, yada, yada. I didn't get it until I became an openly gay man. And then I started hearing the word faggot. I'm like, you just can't say that. It's not one of those words where I feel it's appropriate for it to be in any kind of conversation. There's no need for it. There's no need for if you're referring to it, then there's other words that you can use. But I think in God, I hate to say it, but in Paula Deen's offense, in Paula Deen's defense, I feel like, you know, if you use a word and then you kind of back it up, like if you use the word faggot, but then you say no homo, it kind of like wipes your slate clean. For a lot of people, but for me, it really doesn't. You've used the word, you use the word. Whatever context that may be, you've used the word, but I it's kind of offensive. So, I don't know if that answered your question or not.
No, it does. Actually, I have a gay friend. She, I grew up with her, played basketball all the time, and I have these conversations with her because she's pretty open about the funny. I will tell you a funny caveat to that. A lot of myself, my buddies, we support gay marriage, and she lives in New York State, and I said, do you support it? She said, no, I don't really care. I can already get married in this state. I don't really care about other people in other gay states. I was just like, are you kidding me? Jeez. But sister is marrying a black man, and she's gay, and I said, how do you feel about the F word and the N word? And she said, well, I don't like either one, and I feel like if you even like think about those words in your head, you're a racist or you're a homophobe. I said, I guess I could see that. I mean, if I were to come up to you and Lindsay and say, you're a fag, I think that's a big difference between me just being pissed at Ben and just using it as a poor substitute for asshole. Now, you being an openly gay man, I think you have the right to be offended by it, and I can't tell you to be offended by it or not. And that's part of my problem with a lot of white liberal males who are straight.
Right.
They decide to view what's offensive or not, and I don't think I have that right. If the F word doesn't offend you, doesn't offend James, then that's fine, and that's for you to decide. But that's not for a liberal to decide, no, you can't say it because that will offend them. Did you agree with that statement, or do you think I'm a little off base there?
No, I'm 100%. I'm right on board with you. It really kind of depends on who you're talking to and the context that you're talking about. The thing is that's different between, I think, the gay community versus the black community is that we don't call each other the F word. We just don't. It's an unacceptable phrase. It's slander. It's wrong. But for the African American community, for them to use the N word, it's every other word that the N word kind of comes out. And I think that's where the big difference is that we don't tolerate it for anybody. Whether you're gay, straight, if you're a horse, if the words come out of your mouth, it's not acceptable. You don't need to use the F word because back in the day, it's probably telling you something that you already know, but back in the day, they used to actually burn gay people, and that's where the term faggots came from. It was a bundle of sticks.
Yeah, I did hear that. I heard that about a month ago, actually. That shocked me. That's how a flaming fag came about, right?
Yeah.
Ben, Topher and James will respect your opinion no matter what, but in terms of the F word, do you feel it has the same degree of significance towards a gay man as the N word would have towards someone who's black?
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you called a gay man, like, it's very offensive. I would think, because in my opinion, that would be like calling a black person a nigger, like with an ER, and not just like, what's up, my nigga. And even, you know, even if you're white talking, you should be talking to a black person like that to begin. But yeah, I think I'm definitely guilty of, you know, saying the F word as in fag and like whatnot. And I would never go up to a gay person and be like, oh my God, you faggot. Like, or, you know, I think that's incredibly distasteful. And like, just this, like you said, there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it in my language anyway. And although I'm guilty of still saying it, and, it's just, you know, people have, besides the gay community, have kind of, like you said, Ethan, used it as a poor substitute for a jerk or an asshole. And then, you know, and then they're like, oh, you know, that's totally acceptable. And another thing that you said, I guess I'm kind of riding on your bus right now, is like, you know, it's not for you to decide if that's acceptable or not, because it's not a term that's meant to offend you. And you don't have the right to say, well, you shouldn't be offended by this because I'm actually using it in a different context. Well, it doesn't matter what context you say it in. If people find it offensive, then it is. And that's why you got to be careful around, especially, you know, if you're going to use it, make sure that no one there is going to be offended by it. And you never know how everyone in a certain room feels unless you're with your close friends. And I'm not saying that it's right, you know, to just joke around and call people fags. But if you're doing it in the privacy of your own home and you know people aren't offended by it, then you know what? Then in my opinion, that's whatever. As long as you're not, like, out there spewing hate speech to people who don't deserve it.
You know what? I completely agree with you. If you're going to use it with a group of people who you know that it's an acceptable term, you know what? I'm not hearing it, so I really can give two shits. However, if you're saying it around me, expect me to get offended and expect me to confront you about it. I'm not a confrontational person at all, but that's kind of the only straw that will break the camel's back for me is if you use the word because it is offensive. It is offensive for you to use that term around gay people, because we know what it means, and it sounds like you know what it means. But you know, in a group of friends, it's completely okay. The issue that I have is you know, where they explicitly, you know, use homosexual slurs and then they say the whole no homo thing. And Ethan and I were kind of talking about that a couple of weeks ago. However, that's an issue. And then when people say, oh my God, that's so gay, that drives me crazy. That's a big issue for me. And I will absolutely confront you. Well, what the fuck does that mean? What do you mean that that's gay? No, I just mean that that's stupid. So gay people are stupid? No, that's not what I said. No, that's exactly what you said. That's gay. And then when I asked you, what does that mean? And you said, oh, that's stupid. I didn't mean that it was gay, like homosexual. I just meant that it was stupid. So you're using the term gay as being stupid. So I'm a very liberal person. You can say whatever the hell you want. You don't offend me with a whole lot of anything. But those two things really just kind of drive me crazy, because I think that's what's pushing the younger generation to continue using these slanderous terms in slanderous ways. That's all.
All right, Toph, I got a question for you. And if this is too personal, by all means, just say you're not comfortable with that. But have you always been offended by that word? Or when you became an openly gay man, did people educate you and tell you, like, this is a word you need to stand up for, you can't hear this? Or when you were a kid, did you just get called it a lot, or you got so sick of it and decided I'm not going to be called it anymore?
More of the latter, actually. It was I got tired of hearing those terms. I'm like, I don't like being called that. And I refuse to have people call me that. And if you call me that, then it's going to be a big issue. But no, it's not like you go, when you come out of the closet, you go to like gay 101 and they teach you what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, what clubs you should go to, what clubs you should not go to, whether you should listen to Britney Spears or you should not listen to Britney Spears. It's not like that. I really think that what you consider being being acceptable is based on kind of how you were brought up. There are definitely a group of, you know, there's probably a select group of gay people that are like, hey, fag, what's going on? I will never be a part of that. I'm a whole lot more intelligent and sophisticated and educated than that. So I'm not a part of that. But I feel like it's always being used as a crutch in all aspects. But the issue is that I think that the fact that it's turning into something where it's more of a punchline and it's more of a it's you know, the term gay and the term fag, and then they end up using the safety word, which is no homo, it kind of wipes your slate clean and it kind of says, oh, well, you really didn't mean it in that context. You're using the word, but you mean it in a different context. You really don't. You're using the word because it's the word that you feel like it's appropriate because you're insulting somebody. I don't like being a punchline. I don't like being insulted. And that's kind of
And I don't blame you. I can't speak for you. But I would make one argument. 10-15 years ago, when I was a little kid, I would be petrified to say the N-word. If I heard it in a rap song, I would make sure I never repeated it because I was just actually horrified of being called a racist. No, I mean, I wouldn't say it. I mean, I might tell a black joke to one of my black friends, only if I know they're going to find it funny, not if they're going to find it offensive and I take that risk. But I would 5-10 years ago, maybe not 5, we'll say 7-15 years ago, no problem using the fag word. Now, I'm pretty leery about saying it. Like, I think twice. I don't know if that's just because I've seen the backlash of AstroTurf said it, or I've grown up and a lot of the friends I had, I shouldn't say a lot, that might be sensationalized, but I've had friends growing up who are gay, and I realize that I could be offending them. But I think as a society, we're getting a lot more conscious about how we use that word, and it's starting to become in the same landscape as the N-word. As Ben said, he kind of did a Paul Dean there where he said it in private, but he would never say it to offend somebody. Now, do you think I'm on to something there, or do you think that the media is overplaying it where we're not okay to say it and people still use it as freely as they always have?
So a little bit of both, if I'm going to be honest. If people don't hear it, if other gay people don't hear you say it, then it's not an issue. But if you know your party and you decide that you're going to use that word anyway, there's a little bit of ignorance going on. If you know who's there, but yet you use the same term, whether it's a black guy, it's a gay guy, or if you use the term bitch, I'm pretty sure that girls don't like being called a bitch either. You're offending somebody in some form or fashion. So you really just kind of have to kind of play to your audience a little bit if you use it. And I'm not around, again, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But if you use it when I'm around, then it's kind of an issue for me. It's different kind of in Paula Deen's aspect. I think what happened was that she was in a deposition and they asked her if she'd used the word before. Rather than being an intelligent woman, which she's not, she said, well, when I was younger and I grew up, I'm old, when I was younger, yes, I've used the word because that was what was acceptable back then. But as an adult and you know, in my sense of being on the Food Network or, you know, with Hillshire Farm or whatever, you know, ham company that she's with or butter company that she's with, no, I have not used it. If she was smart, she would specify when she used it. But she said, absolutely, I used that word. And that was her downfall.
Her exact words were, yes, of course. So stupid. But I think we've beaten this Paula Deen thing with a death, or beaten the whole thing to death. Now, topic, Ben, I know you've been following this, because I know you're a big football fan. Topher, if you haven't been following it, Ben's going to fill in the audience, so feel free to fit Ben. Aaron Hernandez, break down the story for us. Tell us your opinion, and myself and Topher will fill in the gaps and fill in our opinion. And, of course, James, you're welcome to do the same.
Okay, so Aaron, you know, the body of a man named Odin Lloyd was found about a mile outside of Aaron Hernandez's home in North Attleboro, Massachusetts. And so this guy, Odin Lloyd, the man who was murdered, he was shot in the back of the head and then dumped at an industrial park. And his connection to Aaron Hernandez, he was dating Aaron Hernandez, the mother of Aaron Hernandez's child's sister. So that was their connection. And Aaron Hernandez was, so that's one way he was linked to it. Another way, obviously, you know, it happened, there's a body a mile from your house. And there was this whole thing with the rental car, which was used to, who knows what it was, they were looking for, it had Rhode Island plates, and he had rented a car from Enterprise. And there was really, Aaron, I don't know if Aaron Hernandez himself rented the car, but it was under his name. And there was another car rented under his name, a Chrysler 300, that police were looking for, a mirror had fallen off it or something, so they were looking for that. The investigation goes on. They get search warrants to search Aaron Hernandez's house. And then that's when things get interesting, because before they get the search warrants, Aaron Hernandez, being a rich football player and probably a really nice home, he has surveillance cameras all around his home. And so what they did, they had a subpoena for him to fork over the surveillance tapes and his cell phone. And so obviously he knew that, but destroyed his cell phone, destroyed the surveillance system before they could get to it. And the police also found out that the day after this guy was murdered, he hired a professional group of, like, cleaners. They came to his house, and they did what they had to, and they got up. And so, you know, as the investigation unfolded, we still don't know a whole lot other than, you know, he's been charged with murder today, was arrested. But, you know, that was, like, what I told you guys is as much as I honestly could find, because the judge in the case, the future judge in the case, has sealed the documents. So, you know, nothing's going to get out because the judge wants to maintain the integrity of the case. So no more juicy details are going to come out until the case is completed. So we're really not going to know much more than we know already.
Right. So there's three words: O.J. Simpson. that's really kind of what it boils down to. You know, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's a duck. I hate to do the whole, you know, you're innocent. You're really not. It's a lot of it's like circumstantial evidence. If it's around your neighborhood, if there's a reason for that person to be around your neighborhood, if there's a controversy involved, and now this person who is, you know, controversial in your life is now end up dead in your neighborhood, you're kind of the prime suspect. So it kind of makes sense. I was on Facebook, and there's a bunch of posts that were like memes or whatever or not, and they were like, oh, you need to pick up his new jersey. And it's, you know, a vertical stripe black and white shirt, you know, saying that he's going to go to jail. Mm-hmm. Funny, but I really think that, I think in the context of all circumstantial evidence, it was in his neighborhood, it's somebody that he had a bad rapport with in general. You know, there's bad blood to begin with. For this guy to end up dead in this guy's neighborhood, you really can't look anywhere else. It's one of those, well, all signs are pointing to this person, so how, it's really hard for us to look for somebody else. It might be somebody else, but I think the whole you're innocent until proven guilty is only if circumstantial evidence is not you know, all signs pointed to you. It's all about you. I don't know. Am I wrong to think that because this guy's this dead guy's in the area of this whole bad blood situation neighborhood with this other guy, I think everybody, or 90% of the people, will agree, if you're in this guy's neighborhood and you're dead, it's this guy's fault.
Well, I think you're right. Go ahead, Ben.
But, you know, to interject even further, there is surveillance, not from his house, but I'm not even sure that. But the last time that this guy's last night, there's video that proves he was with Aaron Hernandez. And, you know, maybe Aaron Hernandez didn't kill him himself, but in my opinion, he definitely played a huge role in killing this guy for whatever reason. And, you know, he has this whole track record of, you know, just that he was a high draft pick, I guess you would say, you know, later rounds, not because he wasn't a talented guy, but because he was a thug. And, you know,
yeah. The
police searched his house. You know, so he got charged with murder, and he has multiple, I think they said at least 4 other firearms charges coming against him for illegal possession of firearms. And then there's this whole other story. This guy in Miami, him and his buddy, who knows, this was in February. So they go to a strip club, and they get in an argument at the strip club, get back in the car, and they're driving somewhere. And allegedly, Hernandez shoots this guy in the face. The guy's still alive, but he lost his right eye, and he has to have multiple surgeries and whatever, and he's seeking over $100,000 in damages. And that lawsuit was just filed on Wednesday. So, like, this is just, like, a whole shitstorm, like, kind of surrounding Hernandez.
I think you guys bring up some good points about Hernandez. Like you said, we have Cody Butler on the line. I'm going to get his point in a second. But this wasn't exactly a Tim Tebow spotless record before he came here. I know the Florida Gators and the Florida State Seminoles both pursued this guy hard. But everyone they talked to in his high school area said, great talent, freak talent. You can take the risk on him. But he hangs around with some shady, shady guys. And like you said, he probably would have been a first-round NFL talent if he wasn't a big pothead and been in some violent scenarios in his past. Which is why it's taken in the fourth round, but nonetheless, an exceptional football player, and that's why the story is making its way around. But the one thing I noticed, and this is fascinating, I don't know how much coverage you guys watched, but if you watch when he was talking in the courtroom, I've never seen anyone more composed after being charged for murder. Guy wasn't crying, he was just sitting there relaxed, like nothing was going wrong, like he knew he was going to get off. C-Man, thanks for joining the show. What do you take on this Aaron Hernandez? Have you been following it at all? Cody. Yeah, it looks like we lost him.
Can you hear me?
You were saying, yes, you're in the, we're just talking about Aaron Hernandez. We got him on right now. What's your take on it, man?
Before I get started on Aaron Hernandez, I just want to legitimately apologize because I completely lost track of time and forgot that I had a responsibility tonight. So my apologies to you, Ethan, the rest of whoever's on here, and whoever's listening. I know how much you guys love me, and I know how vital I am to the show, so I can't imagine how you guys got through 45 minutes without me, but I'm happy to be here. As far as Aaron Hernandez goes, I honestly haven't heard too much of the coverage. The only thing I really can say about it, opinion-wise, is that I'm really going to miss him on my fantasy squad next year because I've had him 2 years in a row, and he has been tearing it up for me. I won the championship last year partly due to his help, so that's all I'm really concerned about. I hope he's not guilty.
Yeah, that would be such a bummer for any fantasy league. And I can't even imagine how many cornballs I think it's going to be funny to name their team like Hernandez Shooters or Hernandez is Innocent. Think they're the most creative people in the world, but clearly that is not a funny team name. It's kind of played out and lame. But D's, man, I'm sorry to swift gears on you, but I promised the people you would talk about it. You went to see Bill Burr a couple weeks ago, didn't have you on last week. How was Bill Burr? I'm a huge fan. Ben, Topher, I don't know what your guys' thoughts on him, but if you don't like him, you need to get off my show right now. Cody, tell me about Bill Burr.
Dude, Bill Burr absolutely killed it. I mean, he's my favorite comedian by a landslide, and I've seen him, this is the second time I've seen him, but he just came out and he just owned the room. Like, he came out, everyone gave him the standing O, and he just killed it. Like, I could not stop laughing, and everybody I was with felt the same way. And I was with people who weren't diehard Bill Burr fans, you know what I mean? They liked his stuff, but they weren't diehard. But, man, he just tore it up. And to just have, I just respect what he does so much because it's so hard to just be universally funny. And I just feel like anybody who was there, like, regardless of race or gender or whatever, like, they were all just dying. And he really killed it. I recommend his comedy to anybody out there who's into comedy or just likes to laugh. Definitely check out Bill Burr. He does a podcast every week. And if you ever get the chance to catch him live, do not pass it up. He's amazing.
Yeah, I actually went and saw a show a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, it wasn't Bill Burr. And my take on it is a lot of these comedians I've seen kind of sense like, these guys are cornballs. Like, I feel like we can go up there and do it better. But when I saw Rob Letterman, he's a pretty big guy in Western New York. That dude absolutely killed it. And a lot of the stuff he had wasn't even prepared. He was just, like, improv, like, pointing people out in the crowd, starting to make fun of them, asking them questions. It's actually awesome. Toph, you got a great sense of humor, so I don't think you're the big Adam Sandler type. Any comedians you've seen in person or anyone you love to listen to?
To be honest with you, Oh, shit, was that directed at someone else?
No.
I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, that was not Cody. That was Topher.
Go ahead.
What?
No, Topher, that was for you. That was not for Cody.
Oh.
He's trying to make
up a long time,
the 47 minutes he was late for.
Oh, okay, I got you. You know what? Honestly, dude, the only people I've ever gone to see live was Bill Burr, because that's the only time I've only
Cody,
had the opportunity
to
do that.
Cody, what do you understand? That question was not for you. That was for Topher.
Who's Toby?
Topher's joining us on the show tonight. He's got another show on Uncensored Radio that he's going to tell us about in a minute. But that question was for Topher. That was not for you.
Well, dude, I've already been cut off twice. Let me just answer it.
Okay,
God,
and then it's Topher. So you better hurry this one up, buddy.
No, I've never seen any other comedians live that I liked. All right, go ahead.
Topher.
It's hard for me to say that there's a lot of comedians that are out there that I do not find funny. That Bill Durham guy who does the whole, like, ventriloquist puppet thing, I find him fucking creepy. I'm probably the only one that finds him creepy, but I find him creepy. I think people like... I find Kathy Griffin funny because I think that she's crass enough she's smart enough, but she's honest enough where she can kind of say... She kind of, like, tell it like it is. And she's just blatantly just rude about it. And I think you have to have respect for those kind of comedians who are willing to just kind of put it out there. Cat Stevens, who's truly just a genius. There's an art to what he does. Nobody else can be that kind of, have that kind of timing that he does. And I think a lot of it is timing, especially if you're doing stand-up comedy. I think Cat Stevens is a god, regardless of whether he's black or white, if we're going to go back to the apology thing. But if you're going to ask me, I think Cat Stevens is kind of like the pinnacle of who stand-up comedians should resemble.
Big Ben, speaking of comedians, last night I was not able to go to the drive-in with you because I will stand by this, and I will always say, I've never been to the drive-in, and I'm not poor, so I'll never go to the drive-ins. I've always said it's a poor man's movie theater, which I got to stop saying because it makes you sound like a rich, pompous ass, and I'm not exactly in the Forbes 100 richest man in the world. But the internship, break that one down first, and then I don't want this is the end, worth seeing, wasting money, what's the deal?
Well, the internship was actually the second movie that played, and it was kind of emotional. I don't know. It was like, you know, the whole thing is Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson are salesmen, and then their company kind of folds. So then they decide to get this internship at Google, and they have to, you know, they team up, and, you know, at the end of the summer, the best team is the one who gets the jobs. And obviously, you know, Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn know nothing about, you know, Google or computers or anything, so they kind of learn along the way. I thought it was going to be funnier, actually, and it kind of ended up being a more kind of serious team-building movie. So it was kind of weird. I thought they could have done a lot more. Like, I expected kind of Wedding Crashers Part 2, and it just, to me, it didn't really even scrape the amount of humor that was really in that. On the other hand, This Is the End, I thought, was really, really funny. And the thing about it was, you know, a bunch of our friends had seen it before I did, and they hyped it up so much. So I left slightly disappointed, but it was still top three funniest movie I've ever seen. I mean, it was just great. The concept of it is, like, kind of stupid. It's like it's the apocalypse, but it's just so funny because all the actors use their real names, so it's kind of like in real life, and it's just really cool. And they're all just, you know, they're all assholes to each other, and you see some, it's just some really quality humor. It's like, it's just like dirty jokes, and it's those actors at their peak. I thought that was a blast. That was a really good movie. Definitely worth seeing.
We got about 5 minutes left. Topher, I'm going to give you a chance to plug your show for listeners out there. I think they should take a listen, and they'd really like it. And after you do that, I'm going to wrap it up with Cody and Ben and some of their final thoughts. But, Topher, thanks for joining us again. I knew we've been talking about for weeks about doing this, you coming on and us discussing if the F word's appropriate in certain scenarios, and I think you gave us a great base for that. But tell us a little bit about your show.
I'm so glad to be a part of your show, and thank you for bringing me on the air. I know that it was kind of last minute for us, but we had been trying to get this to happen for a while. I host a radio show through Blog Talk Radio and through Uncensored Radio, which is a part of Tidal Pending. I do a show called No Rules, Just Mics with a very good friend of mine named Christian, and we do a No Rules radio show that kind of brings you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know about. We talk about a lot of things that a lot of people wouldn't want to talk about with their friends, and we allow that avenue for you. We talk about, we've had a lot of conversations about a lot of stuff that's been kind of going on in kind of the public eye, but a lot of stuff is more of kind of like where would you fall in these types of scenarios. We've been going on since October of last year, so we're getting ready to come up on our 1 year anniversary. I'm very excited about that. And Ethan, you're more than welcome. You guys are all more than welcome to come on the show if you're brave enough. And we talk about a whole lot of just like really honest stuff. The first half hour is a lot about Charleston. I'm from Charleston, South Carolina. Wasn't born and raised, but I've lived here for probably the majority of my life, as well as my co-host. And we just talked about the Charleston area, kind of the up and coming, and then it turns into the nitty gritty topics of conversation. Last week we were talking about whether or not long-term friends can become more than friends and start a relationship, or vice versa. Do you believe that a couple can break up and still stay friends? We've been very kind of interactive with our audience, which I think is a really good thing, especially through Blog Talk Radio. We've had such a huge following. I think that Uncensored Radio in general has had an upwards of 150,000 listeners in the last couple of months, which is really awesome. But I think for me, and I'm pretty sure that you guys would agree, being from Oswego, you guys really want to kind of tap into your local audience as well. Which is where we're kind of heading towards. But you guys are more than welcome to listen. We talked about Charleston for a short period of time, but it really just comes down to the nitty-gritty conversations and kind of what's important and what other people's thoughts and opinions are. So I'd love for you guys
to listen. Well, we'll be sure to be listening.
Absolutely. Thursday nights at 8.
Thank you, Topher. Cody, Ben,
absolutely.
You each got a minute. Cody. I know we missed you for the first 47 minutes, so you can make it up in this next minute. You tell us what the fuck you're doing since you've been out of my show for two weeks and been doing God knows what. So it's yours for a minute. You fill us all in.
All right, man. I've just been fucking busy, dude. I got a new practice space. I moved all my instruments down there, dude. I'm about to start rocking the fuck out. And honestly, real quick, I just want to say to Topher, I'm sorry, dude. I didn't know who you were that you were going to be on the show. Obviously, I was a little scatterbrained when I called in. Just a little disheveled, but, I'm getting back on my feet here. I'm going to come back strong next week because I've been out 2 weeks and, I want to let everyone know that I'm still the man here and I'm going to take over next week. I'm going to bring the pain. So everyone better be ready for that. And, it's going to be uncensored Wednesday night, 10 PM. Everyone better tune in because I'm coming back strong.
Hey, that's what we like to hear, Cody. And that's why we have you on the show. That's why I ditch family members and other friends to have you and Ben on the show. You guys bring it every week, and I love people who bring it. And Topher brought it tonight. So anytime Topher wants to come back, he can certainly have it. But few bring it like Ben Jackson. That's why we're letting him close tonight. Big Ben, you got 59 seconds. You're closing the show for me, so bring it strong, baby.
All right, another good show. I'm glad that I finally got off the midnight shift on Wednesdays for my taco. Took a month-long hiatus from the show, so it was a long time coming, but glad to be back in a regular portion of this. I think think Cody's tweet today about Hernandez was very witty, and it's the first of many, I believe, about the whole murdering people in fantasy football. That was I found that pretty funny. But, yeah, crazy. Roger Federer lost at Wimbledon today. And I know neither of you guys care about that, but it was a hell of a tennis
match. No, we do not.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? It's Wimbledon, and it was awesome to watch. And looking forward to the hoedown throwdown, I guess, because I'm all going to get really fucked up there.
Okay, Ben, you ever bring up tennis and golf on this show again?